Yeah, it's been a while since I've been up here. And yes, at one time I wondered whether I would ever do it again. But thank the Lord, He's taken care of me and He continues to take care of me in all things. And it is good to be here, especially on the Sabbath day. We're going to have a beautiful Sabbath day. So maybe if we can get out in nature this afternoon, we should do it and contemplate. The incarnation, Jesus Christ becoming man. Why? The incarnation we'll be studying for eternity. Why Jesus became a man we'll be studying for eternity. Never exhausting our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what if there was another way? We know for certainty that God would have chosen. But being no other way, our Lord God allowed His Son to come to this earth to become man. And there are many reasons for it, to save sinners, to show us the character of Christ. And there's an awful lot in between there. That's why we're going to be studying it for eternity, to ever learn. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for each and every one of us so that we might have life, that we might have salvation, and to be with Him for eternity. So shall we have a word of prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that through Your love You were able to send Thy Son to this earth to be an example, to show us Your character, to be our substitute in the penalty for sin. We thank Thee, Father, again, forevermore. Please be with us as we look to Your word today for answers. But yet we know that we cannot exhaust all the answers in one time. So be with us this day in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Ellen White tells us that the enemy was overcome by Christ in His human nature. Yes, Jesus overcame in His human nature, relying on the Father's power. He took our place in the universe, and He invited the ruler of all things to treat Him as a representative of the human family. We know that this earth came from the hand of the Creator, perfect. And we still wonder why. It comes to us time to time. But we are told not to contemplate truly on why sin came, why Satan sinned, but that he did sin. And that there was a solution to the problem. And as this earth came perfect from the hand of the Father, man was placed as its first king. To Adam was given the responsibility of ruling the earth, but he was also given the power of choice, which every human being also has, the power of choice. And if we would turn to Isaiah chapter 45 for our first reading. Isaiah chapter 45. And verse 18. 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. God himself formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Yes, we see that the reason is obvious. For without choices, truly impossible to love. And that we know that our God is a God of love. That Christ came to show us that love. When the world's great clock struck the house, an hour, we know that sin began in heaven. Lucifer was allowed to come to this earth. He was ejected from heaven. And he was to resume here on earth. This minute speck in the universe became the black sheep. We know that the Savior entered this world as a babe to prove that it is possible to live a godly life in a sin-cursed earth. We know with everything that's happening in this world, because we can't turn the TV on, we can't read the newspaper, almost anything, to know how bad this world is getting. Oh, many things look good. Look at the stock market, see how high it is today. But we also know it's going to crash. I know that some of you out there have stocks or not. I know that for the last 10 years, things that had happened, my brother has lost, I don't know, over $50,000 from what he had. But Christ came to prove that Satan's charges, that God is a tyrant, is wrong. He claimed to come to this earth to reclaim it and return it to the family of God. He came to reclaim what Adam lost. And by so doing, he gave the universe the greatest showing of love that there ever is, of God allowing his son to come to this earth and die. So let's look at some of the verses that tells us why Jesus became a man. And one of the very first we know is Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's a positive. There's a promise. And this is the great controversy in just a few words between Jesus Christ and Satan. Isaiah chapter 9, our meditation for today. Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and so many more names for our Christ. And other familiar verses. John chapter 1. John 1-3. All familiar to us. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This is the nature of the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And we know verse 14, the Word became flesh. And then John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. Yes, the Word became flesh. Jesus came willingly. Someplace it says that there was three meetings between God and the Son. And we know that Lucifer wanted to take part in it. And that was one of the reasons that he did change, before God would allow his Son to come here. But he came willingly. And we know John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And yes, brothers and sisters, we can have everlasting life. We truly don't even know what that means, to live forever, especially knowing that we have to go into the grave first, taste that first death. So we know that God is love, to give his Son. A great example of the kind of love is shown also in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 12. We won't go there to look for it, but we know that's the story of Abraham and Isaac, willing to slay his own son. What a God we have, willing to place the curse of sin upon his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then another one is Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14 through 18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Yes, we know that the dominion of the earth has been regained by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he is able to stand as the head of the human family. And it gives the right to Jesus to redeem and to destroy. And that seems a little foreign to us, to redeem and to destroy. But yet we know that this destruction that they're talking about here has to come. And Ellen White says on chapter 16 of Hebrews 2:9, for our sake, Jesus emptied himself of his glory. He closed his divinity with humanity, that he might touch humanity, that his personal presence might be among us, that we might know that he was acquainted with all our trials and sympathized with all our grief, that every son and daughter of Adam might understand that Jesus is the friend of sinners. Yes, we know that he is our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend. And everything has been done possible to save each and every one of us. And I think it still goes through every one of our heads, whether it's possible that we can be saved, that I can be saved. to look at all the things that I've done in the past, but yet to know and realize and have trust enough and belief enough, faith enough, to know that these things will be blotted out. To have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, what an opportunity has been given to the children of God. And Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He was made a little lower than the angels. And then Matthew chapter 27. Verses 21. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Verse 22. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all said unto him, let him be crucified. And then verse 29. And when they had placed a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. Man rejected the Prince of Life. Man crowned him with a crown of thorns. But God crowned him with a crown of royal majesty, that one day soon we will be able to see. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin entered by one man, as it says here. And then verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the multitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Jesus taking Adam's place. And kind of keep your finger there, because we'll be going back to chapter 5 there, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a chapter that we should be studying and memorize. But my ability to memorize anymore is just about gone. So I have to rely on reading. Verses 45 and 49. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And as I said, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And yes, we know that man was made in the image of God, and it will be restored in us. Then turn back to the same chapter, verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Yes. We know that we have to die. We also know that we're going to be made alive, to become immortal with perfect bodies, to be perfect, not in the sense that God is perfect, but perfect in all things. And then back to Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. 18 and 19. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men, unto generation of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Yes, we have the opportunity to be righteous through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know as a man, Christ would regain dominion over this earth. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. For what the law could not do so, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yes, Jesus living a sinless life as man shows that there is no excuse for sin. Of course, today, many people say that there's no sin in the world. They don't even know what sin is. But if they're a reader of the Word of God, we know that we do know what sin is. We know that God was vindicated. Jesus showing the perfection of the eternal law. It says in Romans 7:12. And then John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 30. Yeah, John 14:30. Oh, wrong place. Hereafter I will not talk of such things for you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Yes, showing that there was no sin in Jesus. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father, using the power from his Father. Showing that death, which is Satan, hath no power or no authority over Jesus. And he can have no power over us if we are truly connected to the vine. Hebrews 4:15. I wasn't going to turn there, but let's turn there. Chapter 4, 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In the opening of our Sabbath school lesson this morning, it said that if the reformer, referring to Martin Luther, had yielded one point, we know that it would have turned out different. Yes, Jesus tempted on all points. The power that Jesus had to overcome that was put to him through the temptations of Satan is the same power that we can have ourselves to overcome the temptations that are set before us. And we all have our temptations, every one of us. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. And verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ellen White tells us that we may have a perfect character. The blood of Christ in everlasting efficiency is our only hope. We through his merits alone we have pardon and peace. When the efficiency of the blood of Christ becomes a reality in the soul through faith in Christ, the believer will be his light, which shines forth in good works as bringing faith into unrighteousness. To righteousness, I mean, we can have the righteousness of Christ. To wear the white raiment, the robe of the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege that we have been given. And I hope that we will all take it. And in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. 24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the temptations of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. Yes, we are justified in Christ. God in forgiving sin and destroying evil. Revelation chapter 2. We know that we have to search the scriptures to find the answers to the questions that we do have. Yes, chapter 2, verse 7 of Romans. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Yes, our promise to us that we will be able to overcome through Jesus Christ. And then our last verses is John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verses 38 through 40. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Yes, Jesus Christ, a heaven-sent teacher to this world. He became a man for us. And I know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to, by faith, take hold upon him as our Savior as our Redeemer. Salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we may have Jesus next to us to take us through life, this life that we have in Jesus. All we know, all of the temptations that are around us, the temptations that are bombarded by us to us every day, to overcome through the power that our Christ used, the power of our Heavenly Father. Thank You for that opportunity that we may be children of the living God, adopted into the family of God through the ransom price paid by our Lord and Savior on Calvary. To have the blood cover our sins, that they may be no more, that we may stand before our God one day with Jesus at our side. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.